The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Close this bedroom door so Kenny doesn't come in here screaming.
Who killed Kenny?
You killed Kenny, you bastards!
Live from a hidden place because we're in fucking quarantine. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with a host of many colors. I think it's going to be Juan and Tim and Gabe for a while, and then Doyle, and then Doyle will probably have to take a shit because of Taco John's.
All right, Bail-Aids. We're live again.
Bail-Aids. The Bail-Aids episode.
Doyle
quarantine, day one.
Doyle is texting something. I don't know what.
I'll look right now.
Right on. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode, fuck if I know. 191. I hardly know what day it is.
191.
191 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan.
And it might sound a little different from normal. Well, I mean, maybe not too much compared to the last episode, but
right when the episode started getting good, it's like, and then it's like, and right about there's where everything went wrong, and I started laughing my ass off. I was like, that's perfect, man.
That's good shit. So obviously this episode we are practicing social distancing, and we are Skyping it in for the next few episodes. This is kind of fucking weird, huh?
I'd say we have the 6 feet thing beat because you guys are roughly 2.5 hours away from me.
Yeah, it's one
social distancing champ.
Doyle, once he gets home, will be the closest person.
He's trying to me. Trying to get us. I gotta find him.
He's like 5 minutes away.
I think he's ready to join.
Yeah, I don't know what his fucking Skype ID is.
Well, you can look it up by his email address. Should I throw it out there?
Nope, I think this is it. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah. It's the weirdest. It's live. Oh, I guess I probably shouldn't say it out loud to the people. People are going to be Skype calling him.
Oh, the string of random numbers and letters?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. So this first episode in this particular recording session, while Juan is looking Doyle up, is going to be about Snow Glass Apples, graphic novel from Neil Gaiman, technically based on a book that was written in 1994, or I guess a short story written in 1994 as a benefit for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. It's basically, I mean, the easiest way to describe it is an alternative vampire take on Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, right?
Was she a vampire?
Well, yeah. So Snow White is, yeah. That's why she's so pale and stuff, and all the forest people are afraid of her.
Oh, Gabe left us on video.
I did?
Yeah.
I'll melt to stop watching so much porn.
Oh, yeah. Probably it buffered out, huh?
I still see you guys.
The reason why I didn't understand or I didn't know if that was the case is because the queen never turned into a vampire. After she got bit.
Yeah, but I don't think she's like a vampire that turns people into vampires. I think she's just a vampire in the sense that she like drains your life essence from you and you become kind of her slave. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, but that didn't happen to the queen either.
My rationale.
Well, yeah, because she didn't keep feeding on the queen.
My thing on the queen is that she's also like clearly magical. And that the scar that's left behind by the bite heals almost instantly. So she's just immune to the vampirism.
Oh, immunity.
Maybe. Because of her magic powers.
Yes. Her snow glass apples powers. Which, by the way, you texted that completely wrong to me.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, snow? What the fuck is snow? I mean, there's like, that could be any number of books or movies. And then it was like, apples glass, like you plural'd apples. And I was like, Gabe says we need to read something called Apples Glass by Neil Gaiman.
I feel like if you typed in Apple's glass, Neil Gaiman, it would come up.
Or it could be something Neil Gaiman magic-wise.
Yeah, I just searched Neil Gaiman.
I'm going to look up Apple's glass, Neil Gaiman, and see what happens right now. No. Well, yeah, sure, why not?
We found it on Hoopla, and Alicia and I read it together not moments ago.
Yeah, it was actually not a very long read. I clicked into it so that I could see the panels instead of having to zoom into each one. And it said 300 pages, and I was like, holy shit, this is going to take me forever.
But, right.
But each little panel was a page, so it actually was a pretty quick read.
Yeah, it's a good read, too. Like, it goes really fast, so.
Yeah, the one we had was kind of like a PDF. It was just the pages. And then I guess it was out of a book that was some kind of collector's edition, because at the end it had like unused artwork and like comments from Neil and the artist, who I think is a woman.
Yeah.
She's worth mentioning because her artwork in the book is fantastic. It's
phenomenal. Yeah, it's Colleen Doran, if I remember correctly.
Apple's glass.
Ass grass. Doyle's here. He hasn't said anything.
Colleen Doran.
Yes.
Doyle.
Yeah, out there at the same time.
Her work was fantastic. The last like spread with the like full vampire Snow White art is just fantastic.
Hello?
Oh shit.
Oh.
Hello?
Doyle.
Hey Doyle.
Are we like video Skyping?
We just have video on. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to get mine to go back to full screen.
I don't know if I'm actually video or not.
You're not.
Okay. It says 7E.
You don't have a real Skype name. That's weird.
I couldn't figure out how to put one in there either. I was fucking trying.
Well, we're talking about the Snow White book. Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. Although what'd not you think? This week.
What'd you think of it? Oh, you read it a few weeks ago or a few months ago or something?
Yeah, it's a really cool. It's what I'm thinking of. It's the retake on Snow White, right? Where she's back. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I really like that whole idea. Like whenever anybody does that kind of like Shrek style thing where you get the like familiarity of a story that's, you know, like, I don't know what you would call it. Just like part of the makeup of like childhood, and then someone takes a different take on it, revamps on it.
Right.
Neil Gaiman is the superior writer also.
He is basically the master of that, though, with, you know, books like American Gods and Good Omens and stuff like that. He knows how to take like a mythology and like creatively put it on its head in a way that a lot of people aren't very good at. So
yeah. Did you ever read like So God's Familiar, I think it's called? Where like it's like the old ones talking about like H.P. Lovecraft and like their disdain for him.
No, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a short story, I think. It's pretty sweet.
What's it called again?
Yeah, I think it's called So God's Familiar, I believe. It's been a long time since I read it.
Just so people could look it up.
Yeah. If you look up So God and Neil Gaiman, like story, Neil short story.
Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman.
We don't know how to spell So God.
So whose pick was this?
It was mine.
This is Gabe's pick. Okay. He wanted us to read
this
something.
Felt like a very Doyle pick to me, just because he picked the last book that we had to read.
So
the last book that we didn't read.
Right.
Well, yeah, the book that nobody read.
I read it.
I've seen it. I've looked at it.
So Doyle had mentioned that he wanted us to do a book this time, and I suggested this one just because it's short and it's like interesting and it's visually like absolutely stunning, and I figured each of us would find something in it that we liked. So
it is amazing.
Yeah, somebody said it already. The art is, I know you guys were just talking about it, but the art is fucking fantastic. Like, that's the one thing that really kept me glued to it, because I should have known, because I'm an idiot, or, you know, I'm not an idiot or whatever, but I didn't know right off the bat it was a take on Snow White. And so going into it, I was just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, people are biting each other. There's apples everywhere. Like, it was just weird. Until I got to the end, I told Gabe about this too. I was like, I didn't really get it. Like, get it. then people are burned to death at the end.
It gets way more intense than regular Snow White, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Snow White ain't got it on this.
So I loved how, like, the dwarves were creepy. Like, they weren't, like, nice, happy dwarves. They were, like, evil, mean dwarves. That made me laugh for some reason. Yeah. I don't know.
They were all bald.
Yeah, they're like...
The dwarves are, like, actual dwarves in this.
Right.
Yeah, weird.
They're like tiny. They're like that drunk uncle of of like garden gnomes. That's what they look like to me.
The drunk uncle of garden gnomes. That's good.
Yeah, you know, the one that came back from Nam not so well.
I didn't know that garden gnomes went to Nam.
Yeah, they went to garden gnome Vietnam.
I seen some real shit.
They're the garden gnomes, like regular garden gnomes you buy at like Walmart or something. These garden gnomes came from like Big Lots or, you know, the Mexican market down the road or some shit.
Food King.
Yeah.
I think they have stuff like that at Food King, actually.
Now we need to get one.
It's probably one of the only things they still have at Food King right now.
Doyle's eating his tacos.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a little more quiet.
There's definitely no quiet way to eat tacos.
Not really.
I worked a 12-hour shift. I'm fucking starving.
A lot of bungholes got cut in that 12 hours.
So
actually, no bungholes were cut. We were just shipping.
Zero bungholes were cut in those 12 hours. All right, moving on.
So let's go around the room or what, however the fuck we call this.
From Alt Greeley to Elizabeth.
So, Juan, what do you give this book?
So I enjoyed it. I gave it a thumbs up. Afterward, like I said, to me, it just seemed weird. Like I didn't really understand what was going on. We talked about it being a vampire, you know, vampire-esque story, but then she does turn into a vampire and it's never really said why, if that's really what's going on. It's a short story, so I'm guessing that they couldn't jam everything into it. But overall, I enjoyed it. I'd give it probably a 6.5, 7.
Nice.
I love the art. The art's amazing.
Right. Tim, how about you, man?
Honestly, I could have just stared at the art for the last 45 minutes and been completely like, yeah, this is getting like an 8 out of 10 for me. 8 out of 10 apples glasses.
Apples to apples. How about you, Doyle? What do you think?
I have a bias. I mean, yeah. It's probably one of my favorite comic book art writers, as well as just writers in general. The art's amazing. I love like the story type, so it's pretty high up there. I'd say it's like a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
I mean, it's not my favorite thing that Neil Gaiman's done, obviously, but very good.
So do you guys think this was just something like, how do we think Neil Gaiman just decided, oh, fuck it, I'm going to do Snow White? Or is this like one thing out of a bunch of young kid like stories that he adapted?
So this originally was a short story that was in a collection of stories. I just read about that earlier today. One second.
Feels like a stoner moment to me. Like, dude, Snow White, but vampires.
So
that's what it felt to me. I'm sure there's obviously more to it.
So
I probably came up with it very deliberately while sitting down in a leather chair with a British accent.
In a leather chair?
Describing how.
I mean, pretty much every time I've seen Neil Gaiman sitting, he's sitting in a leather chair. So
I feel like he is always sitting, and there's always a leather chair, no matter where he's at.
Yeah, he goes to sit down, and leather chairs just appear underneath him.
He's just doing the most like, English thing possible.
I've never seen him standing. Like,
it's just... Oh, man.
Maybe he doesn't have legs.
No, I mean,
he has his legs crossed in front of him when he's sitting.
He talks very deliberately very slowly with like pauses between every third and fourth word that he says.
You think that's how we're supposed to be reading his material?
Probably.
Yeah.
I usually read his material with like his voice in my head because I listen to some audio.
One thing I did notice about this book, and I started to notice it about halfway through, was that there is very little actual dialogue where people are speaking. It's mostly
a lot of
like
narration.
Yeah, it's mostly like head thinking.
That is pretty cool. And it's like, a cool way to make it still seem like a fairy tale without, you know, taking too much away from like the narrative process.
Yeah. Narrative story, even though you never see her writing in a book, and she dies at the end. So how could she possibly write about that?
Do you think that the person that peed next to her was really trying to pee on her?
What?
When she sneaks in the first time. Ah, see, you weren't paying attention, bro. Gotta be paying attention.
I don't remember that part where people are pissing.
I did not have that thought at all.
Huh?
I said I don't remember having that thought. I was like, did she mean to pee up? Or just spy?
She's sneaking into the forest, into the cave, and apparently there's like some people or ghouls around, the queen is, and somebody pees on the rock that she's hiding behind.
Yeah.
I totally missed that part.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't think that she was about to get peed on.
Hey, nobody thought the president would get peed on, but here we are.
Oh man,
I could have thought that the president was going to get peed on.
Yeah, I feel like
question. You're like, has the president ever been peed on? I think I know. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Probably. I think there's even rumors of that.
As a matter of fact, if you ask me the question of if all of the people on this podcast have ever been peed on, I'm going to be like, yeah, probably.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I have been peed on. I have two kids.
Yeah, me too. So.
Yeah, oh.
Wow, we've all been peed on.
Yep.
Yeah.
What?
I'm in, R. Kelly.
I didn't say I was peeing on other people.
Yeah.
What's wrong with peed on a shower? I love gold. Definitely. I love showers. Fucking miss that show. Somebody
in a shower. I've peed on multiple people in showers.
For sure.
Like at the same time, or?
That's going to be...
I remember high school, I'm pretty sure I was indiscriminately peeing on people in showers at football practice. Right, not even thinking about it.
Here's a real question, and this is going to be dead air for the audience, but because 3 out of 4 of us are on video, raise of hands who's peed on their wife in the shower.
Well, the other one doesn't have a wife either. So.
I don't shower with my wife.
Yeah.
Sounds boring.
I can't.
Yeah, really.
I'm too fat, bro. You gotta get on that. I can't fit in no showers with other people.
just be like, baby, I think we need to shower together because, I mean, the rest of the guys are peeing on their wives. So.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
It's just like a. You know, I mean, everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Doyle's pissing on Petrie in the shower. Rest of the guys seem really okay with that for some weird reason. Start making shit up.
Everything, it's weird.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I would give this a thumbs up and, I'm with Doyle where it's like a 9 out of 10 for me as well. So I really dig this book. I like the way the story is told and I love the art in it. So that's it for me.
No, I think that's pretty good. Cause I think we like went over the book where people understand it, but there's no real big spoilers.
Yeah,
Besides
what?
So you might, besides the, whether the queen got peed on or around, I guess we kind of thoroughly.
That's not a spoiler, bro. That's left up for question. You never know.
Yeah. Well, if her and the king ever took a shower together, I think we can pretty much just assume that he probably peed on her.
Peed in her butt.
I think my Corona kid. Martini there, bro. Or Corona Margarita. What were you drinking?
What's that? It's a Corona Rita.
Corona Rita.
I think Hannah's running away from home.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
I'm sure your mic picked that up.
It did.
Yay!
quick FYI, guys. I might be down an 8-year-old.
Hey, but you're up $1,000 because of it.
Well,
yeah, there you go. Well,
got
maybe
three others, and you know, you still got like what 20 cats right now and three dogs,
something like that. 20 cats and like 1,600 dogs, and fucking 8 fish and 19 iguanas and a snake.
Hey, so silver lining to this episode: Doyle's not at your house, so he's not going to fall asleep.
What makes you think he's awake right now?
He hasn't made noise in a couple minutes now.
He's like, what? Wait, huh? Huh?
Wait for it.
I'm definitely awake.
Okay, there he is.
I mean, tacos.
We need that video so we know for
connection
sure.
Of all of us, but you're not on video. That's what I want to know.
You're not on video either, Gabe.
What's that? Why the video?
Yeah. I see Gabe.
Do you? Yeah, I don't see Gabe. That's weird.
He just, he exited me out.
Maybe Juan's got too much porn going. Now I see only Gabe.
Do video. I don't know why.
Now one's bad.
Maybe he doesn't do video on the phone.
Oh, could be.
I think when you do Skype on the phones, I think you can do like two-way video chatting. I don't know about this group stuff.
Right.
Okay.
I also don't know.
Group stuff.
It gave me
what the fuck?
On that note.
Yeah, on that note.
Like all this, I've just heard from like, well, I mean, unreliable sources that there's like the possibility of martial law as far as like curfews throughout the U.S. possibly going through tomorrow. Definitely unreliable sources. Just curious if anybody else heard that though.
You heard? Yeah, I missed it a little bit. You heard sources that the U.S. is doing what tomorrow?
That they could achieve martial law throughout the country, if as far as like. Curfew enforcement and stuff like that.
Who fucking knows at this point, man? I know that they mobilized the National Guard in like a few states.
Yeah, they're doing a curfew in some areas already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Baltimore City, there's already from what I understand, martial law and a curfew. Because the mayor of Baltimore literally had to beg for people to stop shooting each other because hospitals are running out of room for fucking coronavirus people because they can't stop killing each other.
Yeah, they should probably keep the curfew through the rest of our lives.
Just forever, honestly.
Just forever.
Yeah, Baltimore's awful.
This is just normal everywhere. Have you seen that video where it's like literally like going around like the Eiffel Tower, Grand Central Station, like in the middle of the day, just like fucking nobody's at any of these places?
Yeah.
It's like apocalypse.
The army of monkeys that's invading that one Asian town. Anybody see that article?
Yeah.
I really don't give a fuck either. Everybody's out doing whatever.
Right.
Well,
Gabe posted a picture of, I think it was Boulder, and there's just mountain lions walking around now, like in neighborhoods because nobody's out. They're like creeping back into the neighborhood.
Well, on that apocalyptic note, this has been the latest episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm sure this will come up in every single session that we have today, but if you want to follow us, be sure to find us at totlb.com. You can always join us and help support us on Patreon at patreon.com/totlb, where we might have a new idea coming up shortly for a Patreon video, because Juan and I talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then of course, if you have any opinions, you can give us a call, 970-573-6148 on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline. I really wish I didn't have to see that right now.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
But with that said, I've been Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
Say your name again, Doyle.
Doyle's here also.
Doyle is also here.
It's happening.
No.
This has been another scintillating episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Has been realived by the coronavirus.
Bye.
What? Doyle's an idiot. That's what's wrong.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.